The Brad Sessmann Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. I'm really looking forward to Eddie Johnson coming on board today. EJ is on Sirius XM. Beauty of what we do, what Eddie can do, is if I want to talk 12 minutes with Eddie Johnson, I'm not going to have somebody in my ear saying, wrap it up, we have a commercial from Depends, okay? Not that I wouldn't take a check from Depends, but you know what I mean. So this is a day where you have someone like Eddie Johnson and you only have 6 or 7 minutes. That's not going to work. Kevin Durant was hurt last night. Kevin Durant and the Warriors, can they overcome this? The Lakers were jilted at the altar by Tyronn Lue. Are they going to go with Jason Kidd? The Suns have a new coach. The Suns are going to be in the lottery next week. Who's the best fit for all this? Is Giannis the new face of the NBA? That's not 6 minutes. So, and it's all good stuff. So I'm really looking forward to having Eddie Johnson on. And that's coming up at 10:20 this morning. We'll have Goody at the Movies today. AZ Central, Gannett Chief Film and Media Critic. He is going to critique Shadow, the NBC coverage of the Derby, Meghan McCain's squabbles with Seth Meyers, and whatever else is on Goody's mind. That will be today. I am not going to be here next week. Eric is not going. Are you coming in on Thursday next week to do a show? You're going to Chicago.
Yeah, I'm coming in next Thursday.
You're
going
to come in next Thursday? I might.
I return in the wee hours of Tuesday night, so I'm listed as questionable for Wednesday.
Eric is a broadcast executive at the highest level in television next week in Chicago, which is good.
No, that's false, but yeah, I'm doing a little freelance gig.
I think it's a cool deal.
For the NBA, so. Yeah.
That's for the NBA, just something like that. He is actually going to do media training for some of the NBA. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Last night, Eric and I and Jordan were out at Desert Vista High School. Desert Vista High School had what they call a showcase where there are four high schools that were on the same field at the same time. I would say last night, Eric, that there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 future college / potential NFL players at Desert Vista High School last night. Does that sound about right to you? If I'm going, there was a running back, there was a wide receiver and a couple linemen at South Point. There was a quarterback for Chaparral. There was a wide receiver for Chaparral who didn't participate because he was injured, but 4, 5?
Desert Vista has a handful of guys, too.
That could play beyond college?
Yeah, they're all very young.
Beyond college?
I don't know about beyond college, but you said
college and beyond.
I don't know. I mean, I don't even...
Yeah, we're in a day and age where we have to look at some of these kids and say, that guy's got a shot at playing well beyond.
We knew Christian Kirk was going to play in the NFL. Like, that's the one player that I saw in high school that said, there's no
doubt. I knew Brett
Hundley
was going to play in the NFL.
Well, I didn't see him play, but yeah.
I knew N'Keal Harry was going to play in the NFL.
I would agree with you on that, too.
I don't know about Brock Purdy.
No.
You don't think he'll play?
No.
Really?
No.
That's kind of harsh.
No, it's not.
Killing a kid's dream.
Not really.
Squashing.
Just because you're a really good college player doesn't mean you'll make the NFL.
No, that's true. That's true. Like Burko. So Burko's going to be in the news today. He is. I'm just saying. It may be as late as tomorrow, but Mike Berkovici is going to be in the news today. I'm making a bold, big prediction.
Okay.
And it'll be local that he'll be in the news. So I'm just saying that. I haven't shared, but big, bold prediction. Mike Berkovici is going to be in the news cycle today.
I think I know where you're headed with that. So
yeah. There's some things going on in sports that are fascinating to me, and I'll get to them here in a second. But first, Sagicor. All right, so here's the thing about Sagicor. Sagicor came to me, and I came to them, I don't know, like 2 years ago. And they want to get involved with us, and they like what we're all about and community and our commitment to community. And as we talked further, I'm like, you know, I think I could actually help some people. So I tested, not once, not twice, 3 times, and I got my license, and I'm able to help people out. Beyond that, Sagicor does a lot of good for you. Okay. You can log on and get your free quote as we're sitting here right now. Just go to SagiCorpsNow.com, SagiCorpsNow.com. If you guys haven't looked into life insurance, it's as simple as this. If you don't come home tonight, is everything handled? It's not scare tactic. It's just a fact. You can go down to 101. I saw an accident right in front of me this morning. Those people didn't get up saying, I'm going to get in an accident today. You don't know. So protect what matters most, and that is your family, and that's through life insurance. And life insurance can be used for a whole lot of things. It's not just one. So make sure you log on and get your free quote at SagiCorps now. We appreciate SagiCorps and their support. Have you been watching Jeopardy? So James Holzhauser has just rolled through. Eric, have you been watching Jeopardy and the whole James Holzhauser
deal? I have not, but I heard about it. I've heard people talking about it, but I haven't watched I couldn't even tell you what channel Jeopardy is on.
Well, you don't watch Channel 3. You watch Channel 12. So
it's on
news.
Channel 3?
It's on Channel 3.
Yeah.
7:30. He just mows through people. He's like Giannis. Nobody can touch him. So Yahoo is now reporting that he has three Major League Baseball teams that want to hire him in the analytics department.
Did you hear that Jeopardy put a ringer on to try to beat him, and he almost beat him, but he didn't? A friend of mine told me that like a couple weeks ago. Like they brought someone back who was dominant, and
really?
He barely lost to the guy.
They had a guy on. I was going to send you a text. They had a guy on who's a sports information director that
nice.
Almost beat him.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is a sports information director. I was going to send Doug Tamara, our friend over at ASU. Like, you have a future here.
So how much money has the guy won? Do we know yet?
It's like a million two, I think. Someone out there will correct me on the exact number. They're in reruns right now. The guy is charging for autographs. He's from Vegas. He's a professional gambler. He's making the circuit on talk shows. The Bunny Ranch in Vegas has offered him a congratulatory party, which I'm sure has gone over real well with Alex Trebek. There's something about him, though, when I watch him. Like, I don't think he likes Alex. I think he likes the fact he's just owning the show. But I bring this up off the lead because there's been three Major League Baseball teams that have offered him a position. And like Billy Beane is quoted in there of the value of this guy. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. It was really interesting. I'm watching Giannis, and when I'm watching him, I'm seeing the face of the NBA change. Who would have thought that when the Suns made the just dreadful deal of Eric Bledsoe for Brandon Knight, that Eric Bledsoe is going to be in line to play in an NBA Finals? But the Milwaukee Bucks are in the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 2001. And they've got a terrific lineup. Middleton, Brogdon, Bledsoe, Giannis is there. It's a fun team to watch. And they completely destroyed Boston. Completely. Like the Kyrie era is over. Not happening. In the five games, Milwaukee only took five to beat him. They outscored Boston by 65 points in those five games total. That's not even a close series. So the Kyrie stuff is over from my view. So they'll get the winner of the Toronto-Philly series. I actually love watching Toronto because Kawhi Leonard is killing it up there with the Raptors. And I don't see him going to the Lakers. Would you want to go to the Lakers right now? Lakers can't find a coach. We'll get into all this with Eddie Johnson, including the Kevin Durant injury here in a minute. The president of U of A says that Sean is our coach, even though the trial is wrapped up. And U of A, of course, is letting it out there just ever so slightly that we have the number one ranked recruiting class in the country in college basketball. I was at a meeting this past Monday, and it was a bunch of ASU big cigars, and we're sitting at a table. And a guy turns to me and he says, I hate those U of A pukes to the south. And it was just like, oh my gosh. And they were just going on and on about how the U of A is getting over on everybody and how Sean should be gone. And they looked at me and I said, well, Sean should have been gone after making all these big promises about, look at what I can do with one and dones. And they've done nothing. And so every year we get this cycle of, oh, we landed this guy this year. We landed this guy this year. We landed this guy this year. And they've done nothing. That's why he should be gone. In my opinion, all this stuff is around him. But, you know, hey, we got this guy coming in, that guy coming in. Be damned if we're going to make a big deal out of all the embarrassment the university's been put under the microscope. Well, everybody's out for us. Everybody's lied about us. Oh, okay, sure. It's just everybody has this conspiracy theory, right? Brutal. The Diamondbacks, I'll get into them a little bit later in the show. They finally won, and Archie finally played well. When I say finally, a three-game losing streak in the National League West, all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're 3.5 back of the Dodgers, and that could be 6.5 by the time we're through the weekend. That can't happen. So they have Atlanta in starting tonight for 4. And the good news is Archie had 3 scoreless innings. If Archie saves the game in Colorado, doesn't just gag the game away, the Diamondbacks probably lose on Monday anyways because they're flying from Colorado to Tampa, changing altitude, worn down, all that stuff. But there's like a team is going to win. It's like 60-60. They're going to win about 120 games. They're going to play in 120 games. They're going to split those 120 games, 60 wins, 60 losses. What do you do in those other 42 games? And that game that Archie blew on Sunday is one of those 42 that you just absolutely gagged up, and then the team goes into a tailspin. All right, Eddie Johnson is next. EJ SiriusXM, good show, a good friend of the show and the Suns radio analyst. He is up next on Kevin Durant, injury, latest impact, Giannis, Suns, Monty Williams, and much more. We're looking forward to that on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. So I don't get paid anything by SiriusXM. That's for Eddie Johnson. But I listen to EJ on SiriusXM with Justin Termini from 1 to 4. It's usually a lot of yelling and screaming on Justin's part, and EJ tries to retain his composure. And then I hear Eddie do the Suns games through the years. And it's always good to catch up with EJ on a number of fronts, and today especially because the news cycle is heavy. You sound great, by the way. I hope all is well with you.
I'm great. I'm great, Brad. How are you?
I'm good. Are you hitting them straight today, or are you you out on a course? You're always out on a course.
Actually, just worked out, and just sitting here with my son, ready to go in and eat a big breakfast.
Oh, boy. I'll get out of your way then. Let's go through this. Yeah, Eddie Johnson, of course, you can hear him on SiriusXM. All right, Kevin Durant, MRI, when you see it happen last night, are you thinking calf strain or Achilles? They rule out Achilles, at least people that aren't doctors, or the team. Are you buying into that? What's your view on KD?
Well, I mean, the reaction is you always think the worst and you work your way back, right? So the reaction when you're running and you turn like somebody kicked you, it's normally the worst part is an Achilles, all right? The second is a calf. I've had the calf. I had it twice in my career. So I knew immediately he was done. Now, I'm not saying done for the playoffs, but done for that night. Mm-hmm. I knew he was done. I knew he'd be done probably for the rest of the series because an Achilles is the worst, without a doubt. But a calf strain is temporarily really bad, too, because you can't do anything. I've had two of those. I had two of those in my career, and both times I was out 4 to 5 weeks. So it's not something that you play with because it could lead to an Achilles. He's a free agent. I don't see him risking that much, but I think we have to see once the MRI gets in, Brad, if it's a grade 1 or a grade 2. If it's a grade 1, then, you know, it could be maybe 7-10 days, mm-hmm. you know. But the way he limped off the court, I would have to surmise it's a grade 2 at least. And that's definitely a month out, which means, you know, he would probably not even be able to sniff the court unless the Warriors were probably in, you know, game 6 or 7 of the finals. I mean, that's just how long that could be.
Assuming he doesn't come back, this was the point of debate last night and today, is can the Warriors win without Kevin Durant the rest of this series? They only need to win one game. Can they win one of the next two?
Not the way this team is built right now. You know, the one thing I've said about this team is they were trying to do something very special this year. No team in the last 55 years has gone to the finals 5 straight times. Okay? So they're trying to do something. No team is trying to is going to accomplish that without really having to persevere and go through it. So that's what happened. And now you see the fatigue, right? You see the fatigue in this team. I quite honestly believe that the Rockets might maybe would have gotten them last night if Durant stayed. You know, and I'll get into why I say that. But they are trying to do something that's, you know, again, the Boston Celtics did it years ago. Wasn't many teams in the league. Things weren't as taxing in regards to local travel, right? Because a lot of the teams were up and down the East Coast. They weren't flying across country a lot. There's a lot of things in their favor. So that's why I didn't think they'd do it. And I definitely don't think they'll do it now. Without Kevin Durant, they won't do it. They've won before without him. But when they signed him, he became a luxury for them. That's what I called it, because they were already successful. But that luxury turned into a dominant player who dominated the ball, took all the shots and everything. And they gave into it because, you know, he is the best player on that team. But I always felt that the Warriors were a better team, even if he didn't come there. But now their bench is weak. They don't have, you know, Draymond is not the Draymond his first few years. Bogut is not the Bogut of the first, you know, early on doing that run. So it's a lot different team. I actually believe Houston will come back and win the series, to be quite honest.
Was that the last game of Kevin Durant in a Golden State Warrior uniform?
Well, it might not be now. I mean, it depends on the injury, right? Because what team out there will roll the dice if it's an Achilles? That means he's out for the whole, maybe most of the year next year. You know, I think the Warriors now all of a sudden maybe have a chance. And maybe Kevin Durant might think a little differently and that, do I want to go somewhere and have to carry a heavy load as I get older and dealing with possible injuries in the future? So it could be a blessing in disguise for the Warriors that it happened. So it's not a 100% guarantee now that I think he would leave.
Talking with Eddie Johnson, Suns analyst, Sirius XM. You can hear him 1 to 4 p.m. That is Pacific time on Sirius XM. Is Giannis the new face of the NBA now, EJ? Has he ascended to that point?
He's ascending there. I'm not going to give it to him yet. I still think LeBron is the face of the league for a lot of reasons. You can look at the ratings in the first round to me to prove my point.
Yeah, they were terrible.
But I think he's ascending there. I do. I think he's ascending there. You know, a lot of guys have a chance. I think Harden obviously has a chance to get there. I think Joel Embiid, if he could ever get through his, you know, issues in regards to diet and taking care of himself and all of those, I think he can do it. So it's a number of guys I think that are capable. But Giannis definitely right now probably has the lead in that regard.
Milwaukee, EJ, is set up for years now of success, it appears. Who would have thought? They're in the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 2001, and they're not going away anytime soon the way that team is built.
Look, I thought all year they're the best team. People ignored them all year, which was laughable to me. You win 60 games. They try to say they're in the East. The East is very competitive this year. And matter of fact, if Milwaukee won 60 games, that means they kicked some West Coast butt, too. You know, so I don't want to hear all that. It's a solid basketball team. They're the best defensive team in the league. And they got, obviously, the best offense right now as well. I mean, they dominated teams all year. They score a ton of points. They got seven-footers that shoot threes. They got a seven-footer in Giannis that plays point guard. I mean, they have everything. Chris Middleton, Connaughton. Brogdon just came back from injury. They are loaded. They are deep. And to me, they're the favorite to win the title, even if Kevin Durant comes back healthy.
What's going on with the Lakers from your view and not being able to get a coaching deal done?
Well, again, it's you know, I always said that, you know, organizations have to be judged from the top down. I think I took it from Jerry Krause, and I totally believed it, although Michael Jordan fought him on it. Championships are won with the organization, not just one individual player, not just one coach. That's how companies last, and that's how they persevere. So why should it change in sports? And the L.A. Lakers right now, they're in disarray. They're in disarray. They have an owner in Jeannie Buss who was a wonderful woman, a compassionate woman, and I think she's being led astray at times by different comments from people within the organization, different friendships that have led to, I think, bad decision-making. When you have LeBron James, you have to get the coach that he wants. I don't care what you think. If some people out there think, oh, no, get the coach that's going to make him do something. That's not how it works. You get the coach that he wants, and you make sure you get that coach. You don't play games with that coach. They play games with Ty Lue. Now, I don't know if it was Jeannie Buss. I don't know if it was Linda Rambis, who's pretty much, I think, very vocal in that organization now. Kurt Rambis, Kobe Bryant. Somebody poisoned this opportunity to get Ty Lue. Mm. And I think it's a major mistake that they did. Because most great players, they have to get along with the head coach. I mean, that's what it has to be. They have to get along with the head coach. And the head coach in Ty Lue is a champion. He's a guy that went to the finals three straight years. Okay, oh, he had LeBron. So, it's a lot of coaches had great players didn't get to the finals. I don't want to hear that. You know, he got there with him. That's who you're talking about. And it just blows me away that they blew the opportunity and they want to make him hire their assistant coach that they want around him. Really? I mean, how does that work? How does that work when you go in the locker room and you don't have the backing 100% maybe of a guy that they hired and you're in there and he's second-guessing you behind your back? And that's not how you roll in this league. I just think they didn't want him and they found a way not to sign him by doing what they did. Yeah, it's embarrassing. Yeah. It truly is.
Is Jason Kidd the guy from your view now?
Sorry?
Is Jason Kidd the guy from your view now, EJ, for that job?
Well,
for
I think obviously Jason's going to be considered. I heard he had a great interview with him. So I'm sure he's going to be in the running. Obviously, you heard the rumors, too, that you know Lionel Hollins, Frank Vogel, and obviously a person that I truly believe should get the opportunity because I think he's great with people. I think he'd be great for LeBron, and there's Mike Woodson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike Woodson hasn't gotten his due in this league as a coach. He went to Atlanta, turned that franchise around at that point. They were a losing franchise, got them to a very good level, then goes to New York, and he's the last winning coach in New York. Last time he was coaching in New York, they won 50-plus games, and they haven't sniffed it since. So I would love for the Lakers to really consider him a lot to see if he can get that opportunity, and I think he'd be great.
I'll get you out of here off this so you can have your breakfast with your son, Eddie Johnson, with a SiriusXM Suns radio analyst. Monty Williams hired by the Suns, my view is very good move considering where things are. Are there other names that should have been, could have been considered? Sure, that's always the case, but I think this is a good hire, your view.
Yeah, it's a very good hire. But now it has to work. Right? Patience has to be shown. And I think players have to listen and understand that, you know, it's going to be his way. And he comes from a winning pedigree. So what he's going to be teaching them and telling them, it comes from a winning pedigree. It comes from working with Greg Popovich, right? It comes from having his opportunity to be a head coach in New Orleans and learning and realizing the mistakes he made along the way and building from that. From just being in Philadelphia now and helping them try to get to the final. So he has the pedigree. He has the temperament. Now it's up for the players to figure this thing out, carry out detail, and get it done. I mean, but yes, I totally believe in the hire, and I think he'll do a great job.
When you say the players, let's talk specifically about Devin Booker. You can score a lot of points on a bad team. Can you get to the next level with this coach? He's a terrific talent, EJ. What can Monty Williams do to make him better?
Well, we'll see, right? And I think with Devin, he's got to continue to grow as an all-around player. See, as we've seen with Kyrie this offseason, it's not easy to be number one.
Yep.
Kyrie left Cleveland and got away from LeBron because he desired to be number one. And once he got to Boston, he realized it's hard to be number one. It's hard to get players to do what you want them to do. It's hard to get them to understand what you're talking about and where you're coming from. And that's the challenge that Devin Booker has. He has to learn how to lead. He has to learn how to be accountable when he makes mistakes and accept it. Mm-hmm. He has to learn to balance relationships, get to know his teammates, and get them to understand and believe that he should take all the shots, that he shouldn't get hollered and screamed at all the time because he's asked to carry a heavier load than them. All those things, he has to convey that and get his teammates to believe it and understand it and then take the criticism from his coaching staff when they have it for him. Those are the things that he has to do. That's what the number one has to go through, and that's why the number one gets paid all the money.
Yep.
Because they carry a heavier workload. And so he's more than capable of doing it. And his growth has been exceptional. And I think he can take it to the next level.
Good stuff, as always. I appreciate your time and making some time with your son there at breakfast. Enjoy your day. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
Always good to catch up with Eddie Johnson, Suns radio analyst and Sirius XM. It's good stuff there. Yeah, but the Devin Booker part of the equation is what I'm most interested in. Eddie alluded to it. You hear the whispers. You hear the not as engaged with everybody top to bottom. I don't care if somebody scores 50 or 70 and they lose. I just don't. I'm not impressed. I'm just not. I know that we're in a space where look at me, look at how many points I scored. I'm not blaming him. It's just in town, I don't know. I'd kind of like to win. I'd kind of like to have a team that's relevant, not sitting there scoring 50 and saying, boy, this is amazing. This is awesome. No, it doesn't cut it. It doesn't cut it. Goody in about 10 minutes. So there's sports and politics today that I want to get into on the other side. I'll get back on the Diamondbacks on a few things. A clubhouse divided over a presidential visit. That's next. So it's a great time of year when the magazines start to come out in college football. It means that we are right around the corner from the start of the season. I was talking with some Pac-12 people day before yesterday. Pac-12 media days are July 24th, a Wednesday, just a one-day deal this year in downtown Hollywood. We are planning on being at that, as we love to do the college, the pro, the high school side of things. Trevor Lawrence is ranked as the number one quarterback, according to the Sporting News. Their rankings came out for quarterbacks. Eric, we would not disagree on that, or would you go with Tua if you're talking your college football and getting ready for the season?
Oh, just flip a coin.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're both really good.
Trevor Lawrence doesn't play against Furman in the middle of November, though. So I always have to take that into account.
No, but I'm sure if you look back on Clemson's schedule, they had a cupcake in there somewhere.
Early in the year.
Along the line. Yeah.
Early in the year.
They all do.
43 touchdowns, 6 picks for Tua in his career. Jake Fromm's number 3. I'm not going to go through all of these, but there's some interesting ones. Justin Herbert at Oregon. So here's the thing on Oregon. Oregon opens with Auburn. Oregon has an opportunity to really put their stake in the ground that the Pac-12 is not bad like everybody is making it out to be. Oregon, Auburn to open the season. He's going to be in a space where he can put his mark on, I am a Heisman Trophy candidate. I believe that he can be this year. He decided to bypass on the NFL draft. He's coming back to Oregon. Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma is number 5. All of these so far, and this is Sporting News. All of these so far, it's hard to disagree with them. I agree with Eric. You flip a coin. But you start getting into the Ellinger at Texas, Ian Book at Notre Dame, Shea Patterson at Michigan, I'll make their top 10. Cole McDonald at Hawaii, I have not seen him. Cole McDonald at Hawaii made number 9 on the... Have you seen him?
I have not.
Have you heard of him?
No.
Yeah, he made number 9 on this list. And Hawaii opens with U of A. U of A is at Hawaii. Do we have it in the travel budget?
I doubt it.
You know, Southwest flies now to Hawaii.
They do.
Does Allegiant fly to Hawaii? They don't. So, I mean, we could come up with a good reason, I suppose. One of us, it says we need to go cover Kevin Sumlin at a game. Why not go to Hawaii? And we could see Cole McDonald because we have no idea about him.
But if Allegiant did fly to Hawaii, we'd have to fly to Eugene and then take a flight to Temecula and then jump over to, you know, St. George, Utah.
St. Cloud.
And then go to Honolulu.
Hey, I'm going to Ogden on Allegiant here in a couple weeks.
Nice.
For water polo. But yeah, they can find places. Adrian Martinez is number 10.
Good quarterback.
Justin Fields at Ohio State. How do you think that's going to play out with Jack Miller? I know there's a ways to go on this, but these guys.
It's really brash of them to put Justin Fields when he hasn't even really played at all.
Mason Fine at North Texas. Have you heard of Mason Fine?
I have. Throws it all over the place.
Their note on him is he has an opportunity to exceed 10,000 yards passing and 100 touchdowns at North Texas.
Like I said, he throws it all over the place.
100 touchdowns. If you're doing the play-by-play of North Texas, take a nap. 4.5, 5-hour games, probably. One of the great nicknames in college football, the Mean Green of North Texas.
As them. You know why, right?
I don't. Tell me.
You don't know why?
No, I don't.
Who is their most distinguished alum?
Joe Green.
Correct. So, there you go.
That's it?
That's it.
It was pretty easy.
You're smarter than you think you are.
That's what my wife says. Kellen Mond, well, she says other things too. Kellen Mond at Texas A&M. Joe Burrow at LSU. KJ Costello at Stanford. So I've seen him. It's hard with Stanford because they are a Big Ten team playing on the West Coast. They just crush you. They just run it right down your throat. Do I think KJ Costello is a great quarterback? I have a hard time with that one. A top 20 quarterback. Just a couple others. Jordan Love at Utah State made the list, number 17. Bryce Perkins made the list from Virginia. I think Bryce Perkins is going to be terrific. I mean, Bryce Perkins last year rushed for over 800 yards. I'll tell you, and he threw for over 2,400. The only other guy that did that last year was a guy named Kyler Murray, just so we're clear. That's how good a season Bryce Perkins had.
Jalen Hurts is on that list, is he not?
Number 5.
Okay.
If you were listening earlier.
I was. You've just gone through 18 different quarterbacks.
Eason's on the list.
Jacob Eason.
Washington.
Plays for Washington.
He's the transfer from Georgia. They have like a bunch of quarterbacks up there. But Khalil Tate's on this list. And I wanted to get to him at the end. So Khalil Tate is number 21 on this list. Kelly Bryant's on the list. His name's been out there a while. Brock Purdy's not on the list. And they actually put on here, Sporting News Top 25, Iowa State's Brock Purdy was the glaring omission after we had one of the Big 12's top quarterbacks slotted at number 16. So, and Khalil Tate had an ankle injury last year, and they're ranking him ahead of Brock Purdy. But
it'll be interesting to see how Brock plays because he's played a year now, and usually he's not going to surprise anyone.
No.
Like last year, I think he surprised everyone.
Well, he had really good skill talent around him last year.
He did.
You know,
you lose your top running back and your top wide receiver, but it'll be interesting to see if he slumps a little bit as a sophomore. I'm not saying that he will.
You're sounding like it.
No, I'm not. Just saying, you know, defensive coordinators, even in the Big 12 where they don't play any defense, they still get paid a lot of money.
You going to be in town next Thursday or Friday?
I think so.
So we'll see him then.
Oh, okay.
If you want. Would you like to see him? Because he's going to be in town. We'll go catch up.
Yeah,
we'll break
good.
Bread. I'll actually tell him. I'll play back this segment. You know, Eric is intimating that you're going to have
fine.
A sophomore slump.
It's...
And you know what he'll say? Nothing. He's like he hates doing this stuff. Hates it. But he's agreed to do something. So we'll get that next week. Let me quickly go through the baseball stuff here. So the Red Sox clubhouse is reportedly divided because Alex Cora did not go see Donald Trump. And sports and politics, they do mix. I do believe that. And when you have a baseball team that's not playing especially well, you're always going to try to find a reason to try to blow something up. I don't know. I think the Red Sox, the Nationals, those are teams, get back to me around July 1st, and let's see where they are. It is still early in the season in some places. In Arizona, being 3 games out of first place after subtracting your star first baseman and your star pitch, one of your star pitchers from last year, and your center fielder, who's supposed to be all that, who's on the disabled list again. It is a bigger story here in Arizona that they're just hanging around. On the Diamondbacks end, so they played at Tampa the last 3 days. The last 3 days combined of attendance at Tampa Bay, combined, 24,800 fans. They averaged they averaged 8,000 a game, if I do the math. 8,000 a game. How is that viable? I mean, how can you keep doing baseball in a market where you get 8,000 people a game? I'll tell you how, your television contract, all the money. Goody is next. Speaking of TV, we'll talk with Bill Goodykuntz, as we do every Thursday. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now it's time for Goody at the Movies. AZ Central, Gannett Chief, film and media critic, and other stuff. Whatever is on the mind of Bill Goodykuntz. I am actually very surprised that when I look down at the show sheet, there isn't. Bill wants to talk about Adam Sandler on SNL last Saturday night, but that's fine. I'll do it at some point. How are you?
I'm good. I'm not sure I do want to talk about that. But
did you see it?
I mean, I saw bits and pieces of it. I certainly saw the tribute at the end of...
To Chris Farley.
I thought it's actually interesting in kind of a... 20 years later, like, not revisionist history, but the actual history of how they all left the show. I mean, I think people had forgotten they got fired. And he sang that little song at the beginning where he said, "Oh, I've made $3 billion." He said, "I think that's winning."
So it was.
That's failing up.
It was good TV, I thought, to see him back there. I'm not a big fan of a lot of the movies that he's put out, but that's just my own personal taste.
Exactly. And I think that the reason is because they're horrible.
Yeah.
Some of them are unwatchable.
Yeah.
Some of those ones where he gets all of his old Saturday Night Live buddies together, it's like if you got like five of your high school friends and a case of beer and turn the camera on. and it's fine. You and your friends and maybe their families, that they would be interested in that. The whole world wouldn't be.
Well, what's interesting is that he has made $3 billion doing a lot of stuff that isn't good. Which isn't great for the business. It's not great for the business. Like when I hear a story, when I hear of a movie coming up that he is putting out, I don't find myself having to go see it. You know what I mean by that? No. And yet they're going to make gobs of money. So it's not my place to sit there and say, "Well, that's a piece of trash," because I just don't even bother to go see it. Been disappointed too many times.
It's real lowest common denominator stuff. And the thing about him that's too bad is he can do a lot better and sometimes does, I sort of understand that thing where, like, I'll do this to make some money and do this to make some money, and then I can make the thing I really want to make.
Yeah.
But it seems that that happens so infrequently with him that what he really wants to make are these rotten movies. So
the movie that you want to talk about is Shadow, and Rotten Tomatoes loves it. Do you? I care about you. I don't care about Rotten Tomatoes, but I'm just pointing out.
I'm part of that aggregation.
I care about you, Bill.
Yeah, I do. And now I'm blanking on the director's name, but he did House of Flying Dragons and Daggers and Hero. And he's been nominated for three Oscars, I think.
Zhang Yimou? Zhang Yimou.
Yes. And he, he's, yeah, if you want to pronounce. But he's the one that sort of, I don't know if he pioneered it, but he made it popular, that sort of martial arts fighting where gravity is not really an issue. I mean, he uses a complex series of wires and stuff, but the people flip through the air and do all that kind of stuff. And it's really, beautiful to watch, except that they're, slicing each other's heads off and stuff. But it's a lot of that, and he does this kind of cool thing in this movie where he drains everything except for the flesh of the people and the buckets of blood. Everything is almost in black and white. It's just all the rest of the colors are really muted, and it's raining all the time. And it's really cool to look at. It's just convoluted story in ancient China of, they're sort of fighting over the city, and there's a dopey ruler who doesn't really think. But there's a main guy, a commander, who's like the hero of the town, but he's actually a shadow. The real commander is sick and sort of been training this guy to take his place if he needed to. So there's a lot of intrigue and all that kind of. It's 2 hours, and it's a good time at the movies. A little slow at the first half hour or so, they got to do a lot of introduction. But after that, it really takes off. It's really good.
Wow. Listen to you. All right. Go see that. Let's shift from there over to the Kentucky Derby. So, yeah. So I'm watching and I'm thinking a 22-minute delay of something. It's like a basketball game where there was a tug on a jersey at the other end of the floor, away from the basket, all the way at the other end of the floor is how I tried to equate it. I thought it was painful and dreadful. People will say, well, it's the way it should be. The 5 hour of pregame, and I'm not a Mike Tirico guy inside and out. He's fine, but everything is not the biggest thing in the world as he pretends it to be. That's just my own personal preference. What did you make out of the Derby now that you've heard my rant?
Well, it's interesting because I was going to write about it, and what I was going to write about, and I was ready to go, man, right at the end. It's kind of like when La La Land won Best Picture, but actually didn't. I was all set up, and I was ready to go. I was going to make fun of the coverage of it because it's so ridiculous. And these people that are like the 1% of the 1%. I mean, they're not just rich; they're really rich. And I look at them in their hats, and Bob Baffert, he's just the nicest guy. He's got this 14-year-old kid they got all this access to Baffert. So, of course, they're pulling for him to one of his three horses to win, but they don't. And I know Baffert's great. I mean, But I just got sick of, are there any other horses in this Derby? Are there any other trainers in this? And then, of course, 5 hours of it. The Washington Post did something where it's like 295-1 the amount of pregame to like actual action on the, on, you know, and it's absurd. And I was thinking, this is what I'm going to make fun of. This is what I'm going to write about. And then all of a sudden, actual news breaks out.
Yes, that's like, right.
And I'm not a big Tirico fan either. I think he really kind of screwed up Monday Night Football by trying to pretend like every week was a Super Bowl, and you know, Monday Night Football is this hallowed thing that we can't, you know, and you know, it's a football game. But the I thought he did do a nice job, sort of vamping while they went in. And I thought that some of the announcers were good too. Some of the sort of analysts that they had were good. I mean, they didn't. Him and Haw, like one guy said, they gotta disqualify this horse. They gotta get rid of it, you know. And somebody else would say, no, they don't. And so that was pretty good. It was just such a bizarre circumstance. And I know that it happens in racing all the time and all that stuff. But I don't go to the track myself, so right. It was all new to me. I mean, I think they did a pretty good job of explaining it to people like me.
Yeah, most of us are experts, like in horse racing, like 2 days out of the year, the day before the Derby, right. The day after, right?
Right, and what you do is you look at a sheet that tells you who the favorites are,
sure.
And you pick one.
Sure.
And that's the extent of your expertise, and at least with me. I don't know these rules and stuff. They make sense. I mean, these things weigh, you know, a ton, a literal ton, and they're going 40 miles an hour. And I can see why you don't want to, like, have one guy tripping, one horse tripping up another, you know, that certainly. But I didn't know any of this stuff. I thought it was like car racing. Like, you got out there and you just kind of blocked people and did all that stuff. Turns out you can't.
No, it's better that you go that route than just, you know, like most of us sit here behind microphones or in front of cameras and say, this is what's going on. We just don't know. Are you burned out on Meghan McCain yet?
Getting there. She's sort of fallen. Whenever I write about her, I get a lot of people saying, who cares? What does she say? Why is anybody writing about her? It's just because of her dad and all that. Partly it is because of her dad, but she is a co-host of one of the more visible talk shows, and certainly probably the most visible talk show on morning TV. And the people who host The View, whether it was Rosie McDonald back in the day or whoever, they tend to make headlines. I mean, that show does not shy away from politics.
Right.
And she is, you know, for better or worse, I don't know how she got hired. I don't really care how she got hired. I just know that when I turn on my TV, she's sitting there talking. And she's from Arizona, and she's from a famous family in Arizona, so if she says something dopey or says something, you know, or gets in a fight with Seth Meyers, then, you know, I think it's worth mentioning.
Are you too cordial, you and Megan?
No. she and her publicist once emailed me and said, the next time you write, if you're going to write about me, could you please email me? She gave out in her defense. She gave me her email address and said, please let me know. And, you know, if it's appropriate, I'll respond or whatever. And I said, well, that's fine. That's fine. No, I don't know. I've never met her. I mean, I've only met her over email and that sort of thing. I've met.
Is that common, Bill? Is that common where you get people, a publicist that'll do that to you? I don't know.
No, that can be. I mean, you know, sometimes if I've certainly had Fox News, I had the executive vice president of publicity or whatever, call me personally and say, the next time you're going to say something about us, can you please at least call and let us respond? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's
seems fair.
That's fair, sure. All right, get out of here. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
All right.
See ya. There's Goody at the Movies and other stuff. I like the other stuff. Devin Henry is our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen, as always, is a senior executive vice president of Nothing or Everything. This show will repeat over and over and over. The sponsors that you see, please make sure that you support them if you find it within your means, because without them, we're not here. We are self-funded. We just do this because we believe in it, and we've gone for 8+ years. And we appreciate those that have said, we support what you do. And we have our website, too. It's over at sports360az.com. sports360az.com, and you can check out all of our content, pro, college, high school. We do a lot on the college and high school football recruiting front because there's a ton there that people do care about. Have yourself a great day.